We greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's good to be back home again. 2 worship with you, brethren. If I seem to be jumbled, it's probably because I am. Yesterday I was praying and, well, not just yesterday, but this week I was praying and asking the Lord to inspire, and just seemed nothing happened. Nothing happened, and no inspiration came, and a couple brethren texted me and said they're praying for me, and one even gave me a topic subject. And I tried to search that out, and that just wouldn't come either. So last night, about 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30 maybe, the Lord gave me a title. And I guess we'll go from there. And I'd like to write that up on the board so you can understand what the title is. Now, before you English scholars and teachers accuse me of spelling a word wrong up there, it took me 56 years, 2 months, and 3 days to even get to know what this word is. To my knowledge, it's not even an English word. Yesterday, Mike and Carla wanted to do something for their anniversary, so they dropped the children off at our place, and I was enjoying their company, and I was trying to catch up with quotes and doing some work around the office, work around the house, and so I spent quite a bit of the day inside, and it was quite the joy to spend time with grandchildren after having not seen them for almost 2 weeks. And we have a little cloth monkey at home that the children love to play with. And that's what the first word is, mutney. It's a monkey. And for the longest time, the oldest of the grandchildren, I want to be careful how I speak here so she's not embarrassed, but the oldest of the grandchildren spent time on my lap playing with that monkey, that mutney. And it's just, she found a little thread, and she was trying to get that thread, and she was, she had a little toy plastic saw that she was using to cut the legs off. This was going on for quite a long time. After supper, this was before supper, after supper I went into, sat on my chair to try to study for a message, and here she comes with the monkey and the saw, and she wanted to play again. She wanted to sit there again, playing with her mutney. You know, all day I was praying, all day I was needed to study for a message, but was uninspired. And one thing that I have learned, I trust I have, that if the Holy Spirit does not inspire the message, don't preach it, because it will fall flat. It will reach very few people's hearts. You know, as I sat there and she was on my lap, playing, and it wasn't that she was just plain. She wanted me to hold one leg of the mutney. You know, it was kind of a distraction to message studying. It really was. I did not want to tell her to go play somewhere else, because it took me about 3 years just to get her to enjoy sitting on my lap. I mean, I could hold her up before that, but it was kind of just a touch-me-not thing. So I treasured that opportunity to spend time with my granddaughter and grandson. He was there as well, but not quite as much. So after supper, I got my Bible out, laid it on my chair and on the armrest, and I was trying to read. And as she was sitting there, she, "Papa, hold this." And I had to hold it. I read these verses. I read verses, and I honestly can't remember what I read, because it was distracting. Now, having said all this for the backdrop for the inspiration, this message is especially for you, young dads and moms, or dads and moms with small children, and especially moms with small children. Moms who struggle to get their work done because of time needed to take care of the children's needs and possibly wants. Carla came home, I told her I can identify a little bit with her in trying to get something done and just not getting it done. I could identify a little bit with that. Now, I realized that was only one day, and you have it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, sometimes 366. I was there. We were there. There was times in my life when, you know, our two oldest girls, they were pretty close together, and when we put them to bed, when one slept, the other hardly did, and vice versa. So when one woke up, we quick rushed over and tried to quiet her down before she woke up the next one. And they just kind of fed on each other. It was quite the time. There was not too much sleep. Enough, I realize, but not too much. And I know that's what y'all face. There's hardly time to go around. There's hardly time to do your work, let alone a lot of work. There's moms hardly have time, especially those that have a number of children, hardly have time, any time for themselves. They hardly have time to sit down with a cup of coffee. If you don't drink coffee, a tea or whatever, water. But hardly any time to just sit down and rest. There's moms that hardly have time to have their quiet time with the Lord. There's moms who are overwhelmed with all the work that needs to be done and seemingly doesn't get done because of so much to do and so little time to do it. Time is spent feeding the children, washing their dirty clothes, faces and clothes and bodies. Time is spent settling squabbles, taking care of sick ones. This is on top of the cooking, cleaning, washing, folding laundry, planting, weeding the garden, picking vegetables, canning, freezing, preserving the vegetables, and other food items. Now, I realize children need to be taught to help. They need to be taught to work and to play by themselves, to use their imagination in their play. And they can't expect mom to always hold them or entertain them. I realize that. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Verse 13 through 16. I'd like to see Jesus' attitude towards children and what the attitudes that displeased him. Verse 13, Mark chapter 10. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer, or let the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, here was a situation where I would assume it was the parents, or at least, yeah, the parents would have brought their children, especially moms, would have brought their children to Jesus that he should touch them, and in that touch bless them. And the disciples said, Jesus does not have time for little children. He doesn't have time to bless these children. He doesn't have time to play with these children. He doesn't have time to meet their emotional needs. And when Jesus saw that, he was much displeased. He was very sad. He said, don't go there. I have time. I want their children. Don't forbid the children to come unto me. Now, I'd like to ask you the question this morning. How does your child see Jesus this morning? Would anyone care to answer that? How does your child see Jesus this morning? They can't see Jesus bodily, so how will they see Jesus? Through you. And would you elaborate on that? Okay, anything else? I'm not just asking you, I'm asking the audience.
How much time is spent?
Time? Absolutely. Anything else?
Priorities.
You know, I have never heard a parent, older parent, say, I wish I'd have spent more time working and less time with the children. I've never heard that. I wish I'd have spent less time with my children and more time working so I have a bigger empire. I have never heard a parent say that. What I have heard is, I wish I'd have spent more time with my children. I have never heard them say, I wish I wouldn't have invested as much time and energy in my children. I have never heard them say, I wish I wouldn't have taken them with me as much as I did. And I've never heard them say, I'm so glad that I didn't take the time to teach my children the facts of life, but that my children were able to figure it out by themselves. I've never heard them say that. I finally decided yesterday that spending time with my grandchild is more important at that time than reading scripture. Now, was I right or was I wrong? I don't know, but that's where I came out at. And we can use these times to teach and train our children how to respond to the pressures of life. I highly question whether she knew that I was pushed for time at the time. I just don't think she did. And all our children are that way. They have no idea the responsibilities of the parent in what he needs to do, or the grandparent, whatever, whoever it is that's taking care of them. They have no idea. But we know, and then we respond, we kind of get uptight, we kind of back off, and we just go play somewhere else. Go there. And we just push them aside, and they wonder, what did I do? And it wasn't anything that they did wrong. It was just because I was under pressure. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. This is not talking about children, but it is talking about time spent with Jesus. Now it came to pass, this is in Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Mary was cumbered about with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that part, good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I didn't do a lot of thinking on this, but one question that I would have is, why did Jesus rebuke Martha for her much care and trouble? Can someone tell me, why did Jesus rebuke her for that? It's not realistic. It's not realistic that Mary could sit at the feet of Jesus all the time, is it? No? I mean, she had to eat, she had to sleep, she had to wash clothes, she had to take care of herself at least. So it's not realistic to think that the lady Martha, I mean Mary, could sit at Jesus' feet 24 hours a day. So was Jesus rebuking Martha for just not sitting at his feet, or what was the rebuke all about?
He wasn't doing the right thing at the right time.
Okay, that's possible. What else?
He
Okay, that's getting closer to my thought. Do you think there's any correlation between the fact that she was getting to the point where her focus was on her work, her focus was on herself rather than on Jesus? I believe that was the problem. It wasn't that Jesus rebuked her for doing the food preparation. It wasn't the fact that Jesus rebuked her for doing her housework. But it was because her focus was on herself and all the things she needed to do. And no help to do it. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, that's not the place to go. You need to worship me while you do these things." So this morning, are you able to serve God taking care of children? Are we? Yes, absolutely. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, there was some interesting verses, well-known verses, but they just really struck home to me. Jesus was talking about the final judgment, the day of reckoning, when we shall give account of our life here on earth. And it starts in verse 31, and I don't think I'm going to take time to read it. Well, maybe I should. Verse 31, chapter 25. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he says this, For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now listen. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Now I would like to ask you a question. How many of these different things that God mentioned, Jesus mentioned here, would apply to children? How many? Almost all of them. The only one that I could say that would probably not was the one in the prison. But your children get hungry, and you feed them. Your children get thirsty. You give them a drink. Your children were strangers to you when they were born, right? You didn't know them. I mean, you loved them, of course, but they were strangers. You didn't know how they were going to turn out. You didn't know their nature. So they were, in a sense, they were strangers. And you welcomed them in with open arms. You took them in. They were naked, and you clothed them. When they were sick, you not only visited them, but you took care of them. And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you had done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, your children, you have done it unto me." So as you take care of your children, as you take care of your children, remember, we are doing this for Jesus Christ. We're doing this as unto Jesus Christ. And you know, when we do this, when we understand this, it makes the joy of homemaking a part of heaven. It really does, because we are serving Jesus Christ right here at home. Verse 41 says, "When then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. And then shall they also say unto him, Answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we thee a hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, and sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? He shall answer them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, your children, I'm going to put in, you did it not to me." You know, we have this tendency to apply this scripture to the big people in life, to the people out there, to, you know, the people that are hungry, thirsty. You know, I remember back when I was a young lad, we had a feed delivery guy that came. I guess it was, I don't remember. I think it was a feed delivery guy came and we gave him a drink of water, and he just, he said this is the best water he had for a long time. It was well water. And he just so appreciated it. And, you know, we didn't think a thing about it. You know, that's the type of thing that we're thinking about normally when we think about giving them a drink of water, those that really need it. But I would like to apply it this morning to our families right here at home. It can definitely include those people. But most of these that Jesus mentioned are our children. Our children have the same needs. Are we meeting that as we serve Jesus? The small acts of kindness to others is our serving Christ. You know, when you as a godly mother feed your child when he's hungry, you are doing that for Jesus Christ. When you bathe and dress your child, you're doing that for our Lord Jesus Christ. When you comfort your child when he's hurt or troubled, you are doing that to our Lord Jesus Christ. When you sit down and tell them a Bible story, you are doing that for Jesus Christ. You know, when you get a cup of coffee, now I just say coffee because I like to drink coffee. When you get a cup of coffee and you want to sit down and have a quiet time between you and the Lord, just have a quiet time. And a child comes running up to you, wanting you to hold her or him. And you just pick him up and hug and snuggle him right to yourself. You are doing that for Jesus Christ. Even though you may not be able to read your Bible, you are serving Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ understands the demands of life. And he's well pleased when he sees his sons and daughters who are busy serving others instead of themselves. I think that was Martha's problem. She was concerned about her own workload, her own set of troubles, and her attention was on her own needs instead of on Jesus Christ. You know, we sometimes have this attitude that when we're not physically sitting down with a Bible in our hands, reading the Bible, praying on our knees or bowing our heads, whatever, that we're not worshiping Him. Friends, we are worshiping. We are serving Him when we serve others. I realize we need those times. But may we not get discouraged because the demands of time, demands on our life are more than what our time can take. If you understand what I'm trying to say. We are serving Jesus Christ by serving our children, teaching them. Titus chapter 2. Verse 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Sisters, do you realize that this is God's will for you? That you are keepers at home, raising your children, loving your children, teaching them the things of God. This is God's plan for the home. It is not some plan that the woman goes out to the job and the boss tells her when she can take off, when she can't, when she has to be there, when she can't, and when she can go run, get the groceries, when she can do her cleaning. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to be keepers at home, doing the work at home on your time, and your husband blessing you in that. And you will find most fulfillment when you find yourself right here in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. That is your fulfillment. That is where you will find most joy. First Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17 is a very similar verse. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. I would just like to encourage you, as mothers, as dads, but especially mothers, that you that as you raise your children, that you can keep in mind that this is for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is for Him. I am doing this because I love Jesus. I'm doing this because I love the children. But I'm also doing this because I love to be in the plan of God. You know, it's very difficult to be a housewife and to be in Timbuktu all around, just finding your fulfillment out there. It's very difficult to find your fulfillment in the home. But that is where you will find the greatest fulfillment, is right at home, serving the Lord by loving your children, taking care of them. You know, our children will soon detect whether we have time for them. They will soon detect what's important to us. Are they important, or is something else? You know, I had to think of, you know, the story of, and I don't remember all the details, but one of the brethren put it on our church group, and not the last one, I mean the men's chat, and he said these school children were supposed to say what they want to do when they grow older. And the last one that was said that he wants to be a cell phone. And they wonder, and the mom was the teacher, or there was a mom teaching, and she started crying. And she said, there's a boy here that wants to be a cell phone when he grows up, because that way his family will give him attention and want to play with him. And the dad said, well, who was it? And it was our son. It was my son. So would your children want to be cell phones, or do they love being children? The challenge is up to us. Let's kneel for prayer.